is the future.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
It's alive!
It's the sound of science!
We know our taste buds help steer us towards foods we like and away from things that might not be safe for us to eat. But some interesting new research suggests your sense of taste might actually affect how long you live. Scott Pletcher is one of these researchers looking into this. He's with the Department of Molecular and Integrative Physiology, also the Institute of Gerontology at the University of Michigan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Scott, what led you to make this connection that our sense of taste could actually play a role in our length of life?
For some years now, we've been interested in studying how sensory experiences can impact the behavior of organisms. And we noticed that not only did it impact their behavior, but it affected their physiology, their health as well. And so then we began to look at how it affected their lifespan and their patterns of aging.
So what did you find in terms of taste?
So one of the things that we found recently is that there's a couple different aspects of taste that impact their lifespan. One is a strange one, the taste of water. It turns out that humans and mammals and other organisms like fruit flies can taste water. And alternatively, we've also identified taste receptors that are important for detecting the opposite sex. So for males detecting females, for example.
And you're doing this in fruit flies.
Correct. Fruit flies are a very powerful and popular model system for studying aging because they live about 2 months, whereas mice live 3 to 4 years. And of course, we live much longer.
I have to ask, how can you tell whether a fruit fly can taste water?
Well, you can give them a choice between water and other types of bitter substances, for example, and you can find that they prefer that over something that tastes bad, for example. You can also identify the activity of neurons that are important in tasting water, and these respond to the animals sort of sticking their proboscis, is what it's called, into the water itself.
Fascinating. And you actually, did I read this correctly, that fruit flies that lose the ability to taste water actually live longer than those who can?
Correct. In this particular case, it turns out that the animals are responding to a perceived scarcity of water.
Mm-hmm.
And in so doing, they likely utilize their fat reserves to make water that they perceive as absent. And this results in them being healthier.
Now, you have been looking at, in other areas where sensory perception influences health, such as athletic performance and type 2 diabetes. But I also saw you've done research on how on these fruit flies that revealed some intriguing findings in terms of sexual activity, in terms of how much, how little. What was that about?
Right. So we found that when males were able to perceive females, and it turns out in fruit flies they do this by tasting compounds on the female, when they're able to do this, their lifespan is severely shortened and their health is severely compromised, presumably because they are undergoing physiological changes in the expectation of reproduction or some other sorts of behaviors they predict with females.
So they're sexually frustrated.
It could be, although, yeah, we're a little hesitant to say that. However, when the animals are actually allowed to mate, the effects of that taste go away. And so there is some balance between their expectation by sensory perception and what's actually realized by behavior.
Now, how do you take all of this and translate this information and the findings you've had in your work with the fruit flies? How can you translate that into human and advice to give humans for aging and healthier aging?
Right. This is an excellent question. The normal way this is done is by first moving into a system that is a little bit closer to us, mm-hmm. like mice. For example, our colleagues in California have just shown that manipulating a pain receptor, another sensory receptor in mice, extends their lifespan. And so the fruit fly and other simple model organisms have proven very successful in translating those findings into mammals, particularly mice. And those experiments are ongoing. How that translates into humans is really unclear. I think epidemiologists can study patterns of feeding behaviors in different populations and ask whether there's a correlation there. But actually doing the types of experiments to make them live longer, I think We need to get the mouse results.
That's down the research road.
A little bit downstream, yes.
But it does give us a sense, the work you've done, that these sensory perceptions that we have are really doing more than just we can smell this or taste that, but it really is impacting how the body works.
I think that's right. You may be familiar with the large brain initiative that the government is putting forward. And it turns out that the brain is, as we all know, sort of a master control system. And its influences are much greater than we imagined. And the sensory system is viewed as the window, the brain's window to the world. And what we're seeing is that simple, I guess, experiences that we've taken for granted for many years are actually interpreted by the brain and induce dramatic changes in us physiologically. I think you can relate to that. If you're hungry and you smell a hot apple pie, your stomach churns. You can feel this sort of a thing. And what we're realizing now is that it's not just a short-term thing, but maybe it has long-term consequences.
Scott Pletcher, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was Scott Pletcher. He's with the Department of Molecular and Integrative Physiology and the Institute of Gerontology at the University of Michigan.